Hello and welcome to the next episode of the Enterprise Doctor Business Show. My name is Mark Harris. I do mentoring and coaching for small businesses, and I am delighted to have as my guest today Sarah Dander, who is the Head of Policy and Partnerships at a company called Engenuity. How are you, Sarah?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark.
Good. Good to have you here today. I need to tell you, and I don't know whether or not you came up with the name, probably not, but I think Engenuity is a brilliant name. Cross between the word engine, which is driving things forward, and ingenuity, which is doing things differently, and it just puts a smile on my face. I'm hoping that I have interpreted the meaning of the name appropriately.
You have completely, and it's fabulous to have somebody who gets it. We're really pleased of it. We rebranded. We were known as SEMPTA, which I dare say is a dull name, and we rebranded just before the pandemic to Engenuity, which is a fab name.
Yes, I do like it. I do like it. So why don't you tell people, clearly I know, but why don't you tell people what Engenuity does for a living, and then we can move on to the sort of the real meat of the conversation, which is apprenticeships.
Engenuity is a skills charity dedicated to finding new and innovative ways to close the skills gaps for employers in the UK engineering and manufacturing sectors. Our aim is to help employers make sure that they can access the right skills and the right people at the right time in the right place.
Okay, that all makes sense. And the phrase, the right skills, leads us neatly towards the subject of apprenticeships. And there's been a call, and I think it's a call from you, from Engenuity, for the government and other sector organisations to support small businesses in improving apprenticeship success rates. And I do want to talk to you a little bit about apprenticeship take-on. But when you take apprentices on, the idea is that they have a success rate. So let's focus, first of all, on that success rate thing. Where has this come from? Why are you saying this?
So we've seen in recent years an increase in the number of people starting apprenticeships, but the achievement rates have been falling. And in engineering and manufacturing, in the last year, achievement rates fell by 3% to 58%. Which is below the government has a target of 67% achievement for apprenticeships. So we're concerned that the achievement rates are going in the wrong direction. Bear in mind that in engineering and manufacturing, a typical apprenticeship would last between sort of 3 and 4 years. So they're not short programs. They do last quite some time. But we're really keen to explore how we can work, particularly with small and medium businesses, to help improve those achievement rates.
Okay. There's so many questions I want to ask you. Okay, let's talk about achievement rates, then let's talk about your definition of the word small. So achievement rates are the people who go through that whole process. And I know because of my past life, I used to be the business engagement manager for a local college. And anyone who looks at my LinkedIn profile and scrolls down far enough will find it. So I know a bit about persuading or educating employers about the need to take on apprentices. But once they've got the apprentices, then I always understood it to be very much a collaborative thing. There are three sides to the triangle. There's the apprentice, there's the employer, and there's the education establishment who all work together to make it happen. So if the achievement rates are low, who's letting the side down? Which one of those three, or is it two, or all of them?
So I think the in England, the nature of apprenticeships have changed in recent years. So we used to have something called frameworks, and we now have apprenticeship standards, which are very focused on a particular occupation. And without being too technical about it, I think in previous times, we very much had a sort of ladder of progression. So people would do a level two apprenticeship and then move on to a level three. And the training provision, the training program was much more structured. We now have a system of occupational standards, which are a great definition of what somebody needs to be able to know and do. But the assessment of that competence is at the end through something called endpoint assessment. So I think we're really conscious that companies, and we're focusing on small and medium companies because we think that's where the need is. If I'm a large employer, I've probably got somebody whose job it is to look after my apprentices, or a training and development manager. Whereas if I'm a smaller business, it will be the job of the owner, the production director, whoever it lands on. So we're really keen to explore, and we're commissioning some research with the Engineer magazine to better understand, given the new system of standards, what are the challenges for business, and what are they looking for and not getting from their training provider, from the business support organisations, and indeed from government and policymakers.
I would love you to write down my name and email address that you have, and when you get the results of that research, let me know, because I'd really like to know the answer. Maybe we'll do another 15 minutes when that happens. You've used the word small a few times. Different people have different definitions of that in the business world. In government speak, 1 to 249 is an SME and 250 plus a corporate. 1 to 5 is a micro. So when I'm just not sure that apprenticeships, from an employer perspective, the smaller the business gets, the less appropriate it is, because they just can't bring those people along. They can't do the apprentice justice. There isn't enough for them to do. So that's partially my view, and partially, I think, a generic view. And I'd love it if you tell me I'm wrong.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I think there's probably a sweet spot in terms of the size of a company, so that they've got that breadth of work and they've got that structure to support an apprentice. There are always the exceptions that prove the rule. There are some really small micro businesses who really do make a success of apprenticeships, but I think that you have to have an owner, a person who's really keen to do that and is driven to do that, because otherwise, as you say, it's a real challenge. There are quite a few of the sort of small size of medium, if I can use an imprecise definition, where actually apprenticeships have been really successful. And I think sometimes it's having that person, the personality in the business who really wants to make it happen, and is prepared to put the time and the energy into setting up the apprenticeship system. I think we would be wrong to say it's easy. I don't think having staff is easy for anybody. Employing people, managing people, it's the same with an apprentice. And you're right that the training provider has a really big role in terms of supporting that employer and that three-way partnership between the individual, the employer, and the trainer. That's how it should work.
Yeah, it would be nice if it worked how it should work. And sometimes I know it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And the other thing that I know sometimes doesn't work, and I know that it's of concern to Engenuity, is the comparatively low achievement rates for women, for non-white ethnic minorities, and for learners with disabilities. And I'm assuming that means disabilities of all sorts, as well as perhaps learning disabilities. And for people with learning disabilities to have more trouble learning is self-evident, and I'm sure that there are suitable adjustments put in place, etc. Do you have a feel for why the achievement rates are lower for women and non-white ethnic minorities, and what can be done to change that? Because it's great to highlight it, but all that does is tell us there's a problem. What's the solution?
I think I don't think there's any easy solution. I think we need to be honest. There's no magic wand that's going to transform the landscape. I think part of the challenge is broadening the diversity of the workforce within the whole sector, so that if I am I'll use female as an example. If I am a woman working in engineering and manufacturing, I'm not such a minority. It's not just me. The more that we can encourage that diversity and start to see more women in engineering, more women in manufacturing organizations, I think the easier it is for women in general, or who, you know, whoever we're talking about, to actually get to that achievement. I think otherwise it's quite a lonely journey. We've seen in recent times quite a few of the sectors, aerospace and the automotive sector, have set themselves quite challenging gender targets to try to really step up the number of women in this case that they're employing. And I think that can only help, because you're then less of a minority. There are more people like you. I don't think in most of the cases it's because, you know, women are less capable, women, you know, sort of can't do the work. I think it's a cultural piece. I think it's about being, you know, the only woman or one of you know, a very few women in that workplace.
Yeah. And it is often the case with challenges within business that it's not actually a challenge within business, it's a challenge within society, and business is part of society. So I think that's the case. The other thing I think is that I could easily talk to you for another hour, but I know you've got stuff to do and have to run away. So I'm going to say thank you very much. I found that really interesting, and I hope I wasn't too challenging.
No, not at all. And I'm running off because I'm going, because it's National Apprenticeship Week, I'm going to an event to celebrate apprentices. I'm always happy to come and talk about apprenticeships and how we can help small and medium companies.
Brilliant. Really, really. When that research is published, tell
me. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
lovely. I have been talking to Sarah Dander, the Head of Policy and Partnerships at Engenuity. I am Mark Harris from Enterprise Doctor, signing off.